Now, there are sometimes when God requires the pastor to begin the sermon with a confession.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, Ryan, very much. Okay. See, God and I had a fight over this sermon. Now, I know none of you ever argue with God. He speaks to you and you go, oh, yes, certainly, sir. But some of us have this problem. And God, I mean, when I read the text that Michael just read to you, I said to God, are you serious? I mean, I gave Perry that wonderful text to read and preach on about sailing to Rome. I mean, you all know that we're sharing the pulpit. I preach, Peter preaches, and Perry Brisbane preaches. And I'm the guy who has responsibility for dividing up the assignments and giving the text. I mean, I gave him a really good text. And then I gave Peter the wonderful passage which he preached to you about last week, about how Paul was saved from the shipwreck with everybody on board, how God made it so that not a hair of anyone's head was lost. I mean, that's a glory hallelujah text. I mean, you can preach on that text. Amen. And then I get this one. To be honest, I was ready to skip over it. But I couldn't, because the schedule for the preaching was already written, and I wrote it, and this text fell to me. And I promised you that we were going to preach all the way through the book of Acts. Now, this text all resolves on a very little but often problematic word. Why did I get this text? And does that word ever trouble you? I mean, does it ever creep in your life and you find yourself saying, why? Why? Now remember that Paul was going to Rome in fulfillment of God's plan and God's promise. So he was going to Rome. But the journey to Rome had started 3 years before the moment about which Michael read to you today. 3 years he had been going to Rome. It should only have taken a couple weeks. 3 years into the journey, and Paul was still going to Rome. And then at last they got on board the ship and they actually started making progress to Rome, and they were caught up in a hurricane which dragged them caught in the storm for 2 weeks. Now, folks, why? If it was God's plan for Paul to go to Rome, and the Bible makes it clear that it was God's plan for Paul to go to Rome, why has it taken so long? And once the journey is started, why the storm? And why the shipwreck? Why? And how often that little word gets wrapped up in what we're doing and haunts our lives. How often do you find yourself saying to God, why? I mean, big things, little things, harmful things, hurtful things, stupid things. And we stand helplessly before God saying, why? 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 And this little text focuses our attention on the word. Why? I mean, why the shipwreck? Why wasn't it smooth sailing to Rome? Why were there 3 years of delay? Why? Now, you put your own stuff in there. You stick your stuff in my sermon. I mean, what's going on in your head right now? What are the whys of your life? What are the things you want God to tell you about that he is not responding about? What is your why? And why Malta? That's the island that they were shipwrecked on. It's a stupid little place, 60 miles south of the great island of Sicily, and it has absolutely no significance in the world today or back then. It was so unimportant in the Roman world that they did not even bother to send a governor to the island. The citizen, the chief citizen of the place, is a guy named Publius. Nobody would name their kid Publius. And we know nothing about him. We don't even know his last name because Publius is his first name. Malta was a no place. And nobody of importance lived on the island of Malta. Why Malta? And why is it still raining after the shipwreck? I mean, the ship was wrecked, but by the wreck, it was freed from the storm. Everyone who'd been on board was safe. The pathetic fallacy, the tool of all great literature, requires the sun to come out as a reflection of hope. Oh, no. It's still raining. And worse yet, it's cold and wet. So they start a fire to keep warm. And Paul, meaning to be helpful, as all pastors are. Paul gathers some wood to put on the fire. And hidden in the wood is a poisonous snake, a viper. And when it feels the heat of the fire, it jumps out of the wood and bites Paul's hand. Why will it never end? Why? Why the snake bite? I mean, they just got out of the storm. The crisis is over. The storm is gone. Please, God, stop. 3 years safely on the shore. It's still raining. Hardly a breath is drawn, and the new crisis appears. Paul has been bitten by a poisonous snake. Why? And the fickle people of Malta assume that the snake bite was proof that Paul was a truly evil man whom the gods were intent on punishing. The snake bite to them was a way, an indication of the way the gods intended to bring Paul to justice. And when he didn't die, they concluded they were wrong. He must indeed be a god. With you one day, but against you the next, or the other way around. That's how people are all too often, isn't it? And we say, why? And that's how Paul got to the house of Publius, the nobody, chief nobody on Malta. And it turns out that Publius' father was sick. So Paul prayed over him, laid hands on him, and the old man got better. And then the people of Malta brought other sick people to Paul, and they too were made well. But the haunting question in the text is still that little three-letter word, why? Why? Why did God send the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist of all time, even greater than Billy Graham, to the island of Malta, to no place, to heal Publius's father and a couple others? I mean, look at the text. It does not even say that one single soul was converted to Christianity, that anybody came to faith in Jesus Christ on the whole island of Malta. It doesn't say anybody converted. So why? 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 God told me why. God did this because we, you and me, we are constantly plagued by that three-letter word, why? Satan whispers it in your ear, in our ears, all the time. He says, why? Why is God letting this thing happen to you? Why? Because God doesn't love you. He's letting you be sick. He's causing you trouble. He lets your life go from crisis to crisis. Satan says, if God really loved you, would he let you live this way? Why, he says. Why is God letting this happen to you? You're a nobody. God does not care about you. When you hear those words from Satan's lips whispering in your ears, and you are tempted to doubt that God loves you, you shout back at Satan, Malta! God sent the Apostle Paul to no place, to nobody's like me, so that I would know that he cares for me. God never leaves you. God is always faithful. No matter how big the why, God still cares for you.